Alhamdulillah. I'd like to begin with the same salawat that I read in the Eid khutbah. It's so beautiful. I read it in English. O beloved Allah, please shower your prayers, mercy, and blessings upon the praised one, Muhammad, until your prayers are fulfilled, your mercy is exhausted, and your blessings are completed. So we know that that doesn't happen. So in other words, eternally, but a beautiful way of saying it. Please inspire the spirit of the praised one from among the spirits, the Ruh. May he be showered in peace. And ennoble the form of the praised one from among the forms. May he be showered in peace. And exalt the name of the praised one from among the names. May he be showered in peace. Please satisfy the soul of the praised one from among the souls. May he be showered in peace. Illumine the heart of the praised one from among the hearts. May he be showered in peace. Adorn the resting abode of the praised one from among the graves. May he be showered in peace. Bless the garden of the praised one from among the gardens. May he be showered in peace. Beautify the body of the praised one from among the bodies. May he be showered in peace. Perfume the dust of the praised one from among all that is created from dust. May he be showered in peace. And honor the nation of the praised one from among the nations. O Allah, please bestow your prayers, peace, and blessings upon the best of your creation, our Master Muhammad, and upon his pure family, noble companions, faithful wives, blessed progeny, protected household, and all ardent lovers. Through your boundless mercy, O most merciful of the merciful, and all praises flow to you, Lord and lover of your creation. Amen. 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 Alhamdulillah. Amen. Alhamdulillah, and please send our gratitude and prayers for praise and blessings upon beloved Sheikh Musaffer Ashqi Aziz al-Jarahi, rahmatullah alayhi, and upon beloved Sheikh Noor al-Anwar al-Malik al-Ashqi al-Jarahi, rahmatullah alayhi, and upon Hazreti Pir Nuruddin Jarahi, his mother Amina Taslima al-Jarahi, rahmatullah alayhi, and upon all the our lineage, all the successors, all the predecessors, returning into the heart of the Prophet, streaming from the heart of Rasulullah and into the heart of Allah, Allahu Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Whoever knows themselves knows their Lord. Man arafa nafsahu fakad arafa rabbahu. Whoever knows himself knows their Lord. Alhamdulillah. So immediately we are directed to know ourselves. And we're going to speak today ways of knowing ourselves, because ourself is the path to our Lord, our beloved. And then, of course, the Lord is the path to us. As we know, everything that we experience and feel here in our chest is first coming from Allah. But our own experience can only take cognizance of it in ourself. So there are ways of that people investigate in a more intellectual way. But the real way, as we know, as dervishes, is to take the hand of someone who has taken the hand of someone who has taken the hand of someone, who to enter an authentic transmission lineage, heart to heart. And this is the natural way, actually, of knowledge, the natural way of unveiling. And it's the ecstatic way. So we receive from direct transmission. And of course, each transmission is slightly, is unique to every dervish and from every guide. But essentially, it contains the path in it. It has the beloved, has Allah, has the Prophet, peace be upon him, has the succeeding saints. And this is the ecstatic way. Our heart is opened through this light coming into us, through this powerful tajalli of love. Our heart opens, and then we become directly connected to our Lord. Because before that, we, even though we desired or we sought, and we might have had experiences even, but what the hand taking, and I'm not limiting it to this tradition, but let's say the transmission in any authentic lineage is that, is unique, and it gives access to the one and to their inmost heart. Our inner heart opens and we are steeped in its love and knowledge and mystery. And we receive through unveiling what is given us directly to know through inspiration. So this is the lamp. So our lamp is lit through this love, love as the great unveiler, because it's really the power of love of Allah. And you might say acting in this way upon our heart, coming through these vessels of sheikhs and lineage. So Effendi spoke of also the lamp as Sheikh Noor did in his beautiful explanation of the Surah of Light as the glass. So what is the glass is something that is there naturally, but it's fragile, it's frail. So the glass needs to, is the protection of the flame. And the glass is becomes stronger and more protective through our zikrullah, through following the path, through really following. So we become like a newborn. And although a newborn in human terms cannot walk, cannot follow, but we take the image always of the little duckling or the swan, the baby swan. Let's see ourselves more as swans. They follow immediately. That is their safety, their to be close to the mother. So the mother in this case is the guide or the lineage. And we, so this glass then becomes stronger through that, through our tesbih. This is why tesbih is so important on the path. I would say essential. Although we know the path can be done without it. It can be done, of course, through service, because what happens when our heart is linked to the hearts in the lineage, our whole being goes into tesbih. And it's as though a veil falls off of us. And, our bodies are in remembrance, our heart. We all know that state. So let's say that the physical tesbih kind of protects that and can actually increase that. So tesbih is very important. Repetition of Allah's names. And we can do it with the tesbih, the literal tesbih itself, or we can simply have it flow like through our heart. So as we walk, la ilaha illallah, Allah, whatever we're doing, we can have this stream of praise, because that's what it is. It's our body, our heart, our soul, praising its source, because it's in a sense been woken up almost like by the kiss of the beloved, like in the fairy tale. We wake up into this magical land, this land of beauty and mystery, and an infinite possibility that is Allah's creation. We are gradually purified through this, and we are protected by keeping in remembrance, in conscious, intentional remembrance. We're protected from being pulled in too many different directions, because otherwise it's like a flame that is in a candle in the outside. Imagine, and we've all had this experience, or many of us had, you light a flame, you light a fire, you light a match, and the wind comes and puts it out. So that is the flame without the glass. That's the flame without the practices to protect it and strengthen it. Distractions pull us away from Allah, and the world is full of distractions. We could almost look at it as, you know, a place of distraction. It can be a place of remembrance. Once we are firmly grounded, then it becomes only a place of remembrance. Everything will remind us of Allah. Everything gives us lessons. Everything deepens us. Before that, it can pull us away and scatter us. And so Dervish path is focus, focusing, single-pointedness, learning how to stay focused. And in this way, we can learn why we're here. We're here to be with Allah. We're here to love Allah. We're here to praise Allah. We're here to be grateful to Allah in ourselves, and also to transmit this to others. So if we're in a state of gratitude and praise, it transmits to other hearts just spontaneously. Our light becomes illuminating and can light actually the lamps of others, or at least can make them thirst for their own light and bring them to finally meet their connection into their own heart. I'd like to... say that this creates these rippling effect, like, you know, like waves. So imagine just a ripple effect of light going through hearts. We can even imagine that now through all the hearts who are presently living, I mean, biologically alive on this earth, and have this light, every lamp be lit. How amazing if every lamp is lit. And we become pleasing to Allah. So if we seek to please Allah, we become pleasing. And this is this beautiful phrase, this Quranic ayat that I'm going to read now. Ya ayyuha nafsul mutmaina irji illa rabbiki radiyatan mardiya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O soul, in peace and satisfaction, mutmaina, return to your Lord, well pleased and well-pleasing to him. Enter now among my cherished servants. Enter my paradise. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We can actually, when we're in that state of love, we can actually hear this ayat. It resounds. And it was recited by one of our dervish imams during this Ramadan, and many times over. And so it seemed almost to become like one of the kind of pillars of the Ramadan to focus on this. So if we are pleased with Allah, so this is now we come into this kind of second journey that unfolds on the path. And so we are coming from this state of ecstasy and blossoming and, you know, state of love. But then the journey takes us into deeper into ourselves. So we know ourselves as love from the very beginning. We know ourselves, this is our station of love. But we must journey deeper into the caverns, into the basements of ourself, where things have been stored for generations or in our own lifetime that need to be purified. So this purification is the kind of second big step along the way. And that can be difficult. It can be challenging because we might not have that just natural happiness anymore that we had, or we have it only at times, at moments. It will turn into something more arduous. It's like we have to work all of a sudden. We've fallen out of paradise. We can say that after this Ramadan, this falling away from the state of natural bliss, you know, spontaneous bliss. And we've fallen on earth and we have to face, you know, adversities. We have to face particularly the inner conflicts in ourself. We have to face whatever traumas we've absorbed, whatever, you know, prevarications, whatever ways that we used to survive and get by in the world. All of these have to dissolve and vanish. And this is where we step into state of repentance, the tawbah, the turning to Allah, the asking forgiveness. This is a state of sobriety. And I'd like to read a passage of Quran here, and it's from the Ahzab, the confederates. And it's addressing the wives of the prophet and the household. And it has, you know, pointed them out as these very beautiful, special beings, and giving them counsel. And then it says, obey Allah and his apostle. And Allah only wishes to remove all harm from your hearts, O you members of the family, Ya Ahli Bayt, and to make you pure, spotless, and shining. So this is this. So if we think that even the wives of the Prophet underwent and all the companions, this is the human journey. Everyone, we all have to go through this. And in order to completely free ourselves from the conflicts of the earth. And so how do we do that? Well, the tasbih again. Tasbih is, again, going to be the fodder, the food to nourish the heart, to make it strong and have it be able to travel through. And we need to turn to Allah. We turn to Allah. And how many times in Quran Allah says, if you do this, you know, you incur my displeasure, but just turn to me, ask my forgiveness, and I will forgive you. And Allah says, I forgive all wrongs. So sincerely from the heart, this is where we enter our heart in a state of humbleness and seeking forgiveness. And we, of course, we have to become aware of our faults. That's part of the process. So there, the dervishes can act as a mirror, or the world is a mirror. Everyone else in it is, in a sense, a mirror to oneself. We become in a state of a fear, you know, that taqwa, or that awareness, that deep awareness of Allah. But also, there is also an aspect of fear to it, because we don't want to lose Allah's pleasure, Allah's favor. And we are in awe also of Allah's majesty. And so there is the uns, the intimacy, the familiarity, as we said, that came immediately in this first part of the journey. Then there's these other aspects, which are other aspects of ourself, but come from other aspects of our Lord. So this is where we ask Allah to take control of our life. And this is where we realize another aspect of ourselves, which is servant, abd. So we're lover, and then we're servant, we're abd, we're nothing. We are simply, you know, Allah's own movement. So that can be in a sense of ecstasy, but to arrive there, somehow it can be grueling, the path there, because we have to free ourselves from our limited self, or ask Allah to free ourselves. But that means a constant turning and constant seeking from our Lord to remove our faults. And it's kind of surprising, I think, to many of us, how our faults keep coming back. You know, we think it's not just one asking necessarily, but maybe because we're not asking sincerely enough or ardently enough. So anyway, that's this process which is essential, this turning and recognizing our complete servanthood. And let's call it more rather slavehood, you know, and it can go to the point where we realize that every gesture we make, every word we say is all been, how do you say, created or envisioned through Allah. It's first in Allah, and then it comes to us. So on one level, we have no personal will. On another level, we do. We have that agency or it's an, you know, you might call it an illusion, but it's a very important illusion. Unless we can fall into that state of knowing that we are simply the lions on the flag, as Rumi expressed it that way, which is a beautiful image for this kind of consciousness, that we're like the painted lions on the flag in the wind. So this is all Allah, and we are here, we appear, but it is Allah. Allah is always with us, and we are always with Allah, but it is only Allah. So with that, I'd like to read you a beautiful passage from Rumi. And he is with you wherever you may be. So that's one level, one side of the coin. He is with you wherever you may be. So we never without Allah. We might not know it, we forget it, but you know, the conscientious path is to become more and more aware of that, and to become more and more aware of Allah's lordship and our servanthood. Once again, we have returned to the story. So in this case, we would say it's the story of oneself and our beloved. But have we ever really left that story? If we come to ignorance, his jail is there. If we come to knowledge, his palace is there. If we come to sleep, we are drunk on him. If to wakefulness, we are a peon, a praise of him. And if we weep, we are clouds full of his bounty. If we laugh, we become his lightning. If we come to rage and war, his reflected fury. If it's to peace and to pleading, his love. In this twisting and turning world, who are we? We are like Aleph. We who like Aleph have nothing else but he. So this is the true coming to know oneself, that We have nothing else but He. But in that knowing, we take responsibility for everything that is not beautiful in ourself, even though it is still He, and we attribute to Allah everything beautiful and good. So I would recommend for this second part of the path, so as I said, tasbih, and of course, salat and all that goes with it, ablution, staying in ablution, state of ablution. And the second part, to really investigate this bond of Lord and servant, of oneself as complete servant and Allah as Lord. It's a very powerful, I'd say, meditation. And in other traditions, we know Advaita, you know, let's say, who are you? You know, that it's given as a way of knowledge. And I would say in this path, we can frame it in this way. Know yourself and know your Lord. So, but from now, we are looking at it from this place of being completely bonded, never without Allah, and never without being a servant of Allah. So what does it mean to be servant? So I'm not, there's only so much we can go into it, but it's really for each one of us to look at that in ourselves, to sit and deeply meditate, to deeply contemplate our own servanthood. It's actually such a blessed place. And then as servant of Allah, we also servants of others in the world. We have obligations. So it's to recognize that we have responsibilities and obligations. I mean, we you know, for those of us who grew up in the West, we grew up with the idea that we're these free agents, you know, that essentially everything is here for us. And it's just, you know, we have to strive to capture it and to be able to realize what we want to bring about in our lives. And of course, that's extremely disorienting, and it can actually damage the soul. But, you know, the healing embrace of Allah repairs that. But it's just to say, we start almost at the opposite end. And but interestingly enough, even though we grew up with that, yet when Sheikh Musaffer came here to America, the enthusiasm, the passion with which he was greeted and welcomed and followed was quite striking. And I think it was surprising to many of the Babas, and maybe to Effendi himself. Maybe he didn't expect this amount from these Westerners, these so-called misguided Westerners, but Allah had placed the ishq in their hearts. And so that's what brought us home, you know. So if we have that love, we will get home. But, you know, we have to become aware also of our responsibilities toward others, as we're servants, and the bonds with others, with, of course, our parents foremost and our children. And then, of course, our marriage partner, our neighbors, our community, the poor, so that we have obligations toward all of these. The traveler, those in need, they could be physical needs, they could be emotional needs or needs of any kind. All creatures on the earth, we have a bond to, and we have a certain responsibility if they come into our vicinity. The stranger, the one who appears as a stranger passing by, we have an obligation. We, you know, we have an obligation to, you might say, to all humanity, certainly through our envisioning and our prayers and our good intention. So, alhamdulillah. And I'll end with a beautiful, so we didn't have the middle section. Maybe we'll have that moment of silence in Salawat. Let's offer that now. And then I'll conclude. How great it is to be a servant, how great, even greater to be a slave, recognize one's slavehood. Rings of slavehood in our ears, as Sheikh Noor says, or to have that station is so profound, so joyful, really. And you know, this is also Quranic teaching. The more we try to strive up, the more we become contracted and actually disconnected and unhappy. It's by going down. It's by in that humbleness, becoming the dust that under the feet that we find true joy. So, and this is the destiny of the faithful servants. Khabar 78 from the 101. Ask from me. Allah, may he be exalted and glorified, will proclaim to the people of paradise, I am your Lord, whom you worshipped and adored on earth, without seeing me directly, bringing before me the desires of your heart, loving me, and standing in awe before me. By my power, my majesty, my sublimity, my greatness, my splendor, and my radiance, I am pleased with you. I love you, and I love what you love and those whom you love. Whatever your soul's desire and whatever delights your eyes is with me alone. You have in me all you long for and all you need. Whatever you desire, I desire also. Ask from me and be free forever from fear and grief. Sadaqallah, hul azim, because this is Hadith Qudsi, hu visuri, through the secret heart of our peers, al-Fatiha. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa sabbi wa sallam. Bismillahi rahman irrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman irrahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina s-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين 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 آمين. So to know oneself as pure love, great love, passionate love, and to know oneself as slave, this is, in my understanding right now on the path, the greatest, to have these two together, hand in hand. Who? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.